Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond, streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Let's head out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and check in with our pal Mike Loxley, head football coach at the University of Maryland. He's presented by IT Cadre, trusted insight from trusted insiders, IT Cadre. What's up, coach?
What's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
What's up?
Congrats on that opening week win, 39-7 over the Florida Atlantic Owls. That was a nice home win at College Park, coach. Congrats.
Yeah, thanks, man. It was good to get things ignited for the 2025 season. Really happy to finally get a chance to get a feel for what this team can be, and was really pleased to see some of the veteran guys like Daniel Wingate, who's continued to develop into a really great leader, a great player for us on defense, but also some of the young guys that have been thrust into some meaningful roles as true freshmen, get an opportunity to start their careers.
Hey, you mentioned Wingate. He led off the scoring for the Terps as he got the interception 20 yards, returns it to go up 7-0. But that play was really caused by Zahir Mathis bringing the pressure to pressure Veldkamp into coughing that ball up.
Yeah, and Zahir, you know, a day-one starter, is a true freshman, a testament to, you know, how he's prepared himself. He's one of those guys. He's from Philadelphia up at Emotech. Also, just DJ Moore. And he came in as a true freshman, a really mature size, physical, all those things, has great length. And, you know, what you saw him do on Saturday is what he did most of camp. He was a disruptive force. And, you know, I talked about adding, you know, guys like him and Sidney Stewart to our pass rush, which allows us to not have to add people into the mix with bringing pressure. And those two will create problems down the line and they'll only get better.
Tell us a little bit more about Stewart. Now, Stewart had a safety, but I think he had a couple penalties early, too. Was he a former basketball player? Fill me in on Stewart.
No, so Sid, you know, his dad is an assistant basketball coach up at Coppin State. His uncle was the great Larry Stewart, played at Coppin State. So from a bloodline of basketball guys, he
played
did
for the
play
Bullets.
Basketball. He did play basketball growing up, but finished up at Concordia Prep. And, you know, I can remember watching his tape, and Sid was one of those recruiting tapes that you put on and you watch probably five or six plays, and you know, your wife would know that he would be a major offer. That's what his tape looked like. And really luckily get a guy. Like, I actually had breakfast with him yesterday, and he was not as heavily recruited as maybe he should have been. And you know, I'm grateful that we were able to get a guy like him to come, because I think his future is going to be really bright for us.
All right, well, let's talk about, you talk about your freshman. Let's talk about Malik. Malik Washington. I know the first quarter was a little slow, but second quarter you guys woke up. He was really good, 27 for 43 for about 260, three scores, didn't turn the ball over. Talk about Malik, what you saw, and, you know, what do you think he did really well in his first start?
Yeah, you know, as I've said, when people often ask me to describe him, the thing that jumps out to me is the maturity that he shows for a young player. And I've been around a guy that similar traits, Jalen Hurts, when he was a freshman quarterback at Bama for us, that maturity level that he brings to the table. And, you know, here's a guy that missed some work during training camp, obviously, due to some injuries. And the way he played was very similar to his demeanor, because when things don't go well, you know, he doesn't play the emotional game. It isn't about how he feels. He just plays to a standard that he holds himself to. And, you know, it was good to see him. You know, people talk about the 1-for-8 start, but we didn't help him. I think he had three drops in that 1-of-8 situation early in the game. But what he didn't do was panic. He just kept the demeanor that you want to see from your quarterback, where you don't ride the highs or the lows. And eventually things got going. It got kicked off with, obviously, the defensive touchdown, which kind of ignited us and really got us going. And then once Malik got started, I mean, you saw the accuracy. You saw the arm talent. You saw the arm strength. I mean, the throw to Jaleel Farouk there on the sideline on 3rd and 17 was a big boy throw that, you know, he has the ability to do. Now, I caution, because he is a freshman, and we're going to ride the ebbs and the ebbs and flows of a freshman quarterback. But with this kid, I think his maturity will allow him to work through, you know, when he faces some tough times.
And, Coach, pretty impressive. He aired it out 43 times, no picks in his debut. And you look across the field at Florida Atlantic, their two quarterbacks combined for 6 interceptions. And I know Veltkamp has a lot more experience than Washington. So you had to be thrilled that he had a clean sheet pick-wise.
Yeah, you know, everybody talks about the penalties, but the thing that that really jumped out was how he protected the football. And, you know, the offensive line did a tremendous job. We gave up 0 sacks, I think, for the first time in an opener in a long, long time, and to keep your quarterback upright. And when you look at how we protected Malik, I personally think it's a byproduct of the work that our tackles get against those young pass rushers we have on the defensive side. And you often hear the terms of iron sharpening iron. And, you know, we had some battles, Rautrell Perry and Zaire Mathis, and then you've got Alan Huron and Sidney Stewart every day going up against that type of talent. And we got better. And you know, what we need to do now is have the consistency of playing that way, get rid of the penalties, obviously, especially the pre-snap non-competitive penalties that, you know, young players, I think Sid had 2 false starts on the first drive, and, you know, you don't want to take away the ability to have that first step quickness, but he has to learn and understand situational football that on second and long, third and long, you'll get the dummy cadence, and we've got to kind of hold our water there. You'll see him improve, and as much of our team will improve from game 1 to game 2 because we're able to see it on tape and get it coached and fixed.
So our producer, excuse me, I think he was watching your post-game presser, and he said, ask him about, because he didn't catch the name, he said, ask him about the linebacker that you compared to E.J. Henderson, because anytime you do something like that, the guys are going to get excited.
Well, no, that's Daniel Wingate. You know, I was here doing E.J.'s career and saw him come in as a 2-star guy that didn't get heavily recruited. Daniel was very similar. And then next thing you know, you find a 2-time consensus All-American, a Butkus Award winner, a great leader, quiet but led by example. And, you know, having been around EJ, Daniel has a lot of those similar traits and plays very similar, man. Heavy-handed, physical, has the ability. He's a big-time knockback tackler and really has shown that the leadership piece is what really has jumped out to me and has become kind of the face of our defense.
Coach, talk about DeJuan Williams and Nolan Ray. I drafted Nolan Ray on one of my college fantasy teams.
Yes, so we're nerds.
So I was hoping he was getting more touches, but you did say you were going to kind of balance it out and it would be by committee. But DeJuan showed some spark. But just talk about the running game.
Hey, throw in Iverson Howard from Quinn's Orchard, too.
There you go.
No doubt. Ivy's coming along. He missed some time during camp. And, you know, he's a guy that I expect to play for this year, and he'll create some value for himself and for our team. But, you know, DeJuan is a guy out of St. Francis that at one point was committed to Ohio State and had a knee injury going into his senior year and then decided he'd rather stay here at home. And we were fortunate to get him. And I think you're just starting to see the fruits of him being 100% healthy. It usually takes about a year and a half coming off of an ACL to get that comfort level back, especially for a skill guy. And he has the combination of size, speed, strength, and he's also a threat to catch the ball out of the backfield, which we saw a little glimpse of that. With Nolan, he's a home run hitter at any time. And, you know, what we've got to get Nolan to do is be the consistent guy. Every play can't be a home run, and it's okay to get that 2-yard, 3-yard dirty run and really finish. And so we need to see a little more production out of the running back room. I can tell you we had no intentions of maybe throwing that thing 43 times like we did, but based on what the FAU decided to do once they knew we had a freshman quarterback, they were going to make it tough to run the ball, and they were going to make the quarterback beat them, and our young quarterback did just that.
Talking to Mike Locksley, head football coach of the Maryland Terrapins, presented by IT Cadre, trusted insight from trusted insiders, IT Cadre. You know, after watching Malik perform so well in the pocket in week 1, we kind of were wondering, because we don't get to watch much of these guys in high school, whether he was a dual threat quarterback. Is he somebody that you expect to run? He didn't do it in week 1.
No, yeah, he definitely has ability with his legs and arm. If you followed his career, 2-time player of the year in the MIAA up there, and it represents the Baltimore region out of Archbishop Spalding, which is coached by Kyle Schmidt, a former Terp who does a tremendous job down there with his program, and his program's played a huge role in the players that he has having come to Maryland and had success. He's definitely a dual threat. He's a guy that can win in the pocket. He can win with his feet when he needs to, extend plays. He is a thrower that has athletic ability, and that's kind of when we recruit quarterbacks. We're looking for thrower first, and the athleticism would be an add-on value or added value to what we do. And, you know, Pep Hamilton, the offensive staff, did a really good job of putting a plan together that Malik could execute. And you know, he started, like we talked about, maybe a little slow with not a lot of help from his receivers, who had, I think, 7 drops, and another area we've got to get cleaned up this week. But he's a guy that can and will make plays with his arm and feet.
All right, Coach, Friday Night Lights, Northern Illinois coming in. I was just kind of looking at the recap of their game against Holy Cross. Holy Cross actually had a lead early in the fourth quarter, and then Northern Illinois, I think, returned a kick to give them the lead, and they win 19-17. But their quarterback, Josh Holtz, had to be helped off the field. They put in Proctor, their backup. Not sure what the health status is there, but what have you noticed about that game on tape about Northern Illinois?
Yeah, I think the big thing that jumps out to me is that they won a tough, hard-fought, close game. And, you know, as a coach, you need those types of games, especially early in the year, because it really tells you a lot about your team, how you respond when you face adversity. And that's the part for me that is still the unknown for our team. But, you know, Thomas Hammack, a former Raven running back coach who has been around some really good football coaches, as I think he was the MAC coach of the year 2 years ago when they won it, has had some big upsets in his career. They'll be a well-coached bunch. They won't have a lot of fear to come inside or come into Terpsville and compete and play when you're well-coached like the way they are. They focus on themselves, and you can tell how they play very sound, structural in all three phases. The special teams guy, number 6, who returned that kick, is a talented player that came up from the Lenore Ryan FCS level. And I expect them to give us their best, and I'm excited about it for our team. Second chance, short week to be back in the shell, and hopefully we can get some people out into the stands to come support this team and see this young team as they continue to grow up.
Friday Night Lights, Coach.
Yes, it is.
What was the, just out of curiosity, what was the injury to their quarterback? I didn't see.
I didn't get they don't print what happened. I think he took a lower leg and something with his lower body, extremity.
Okay. All right.
It's like us. They play the game where they try to, you know, we don't want to let people know what's going on. So we'll see it. We'll find out. It doesn't matter to us. We'll have to play whoever they put out there.
Got you. All right.
All right, coach. Best
Appreciate
of luck Friday.
It.
Oh,
he gone.
No,
he's here.
I'm still here. Oh, okay. I'm still here.
All right, best of luck. Get
Thank
that win.
Thank you, coach.
All right, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
They're off to a good start.
Yeah.
We need.
We'll take it.
We need to bank some dubs.
17 and a half point favorites.
Well,
Friday.
Especially if they're playing a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, cancel class. Number one, if you have class on Friday, you're a rube.
Yeah, a rube.
But number two, you cancel class.
My son's a senior. He's like, no class on Friday. I mean, it's just the way you do it.
That is the beauty of college.
Upperclassmen. Don't schedule classes on Friday. Everybody knows that.
If you're really elite, you don't schedule classes on Monday either.
Well, that's really
just jam them. Jam them 3 days a week.
Yeah. Jam.
If you have it Friday, it's got to be in the morning.
Yep.
It's the only option.
My dad did his PhD, and, you know, he was working, obviously. He was, you know, later in his life. He did, can you imagine this? 18 credits, one day a week.
No.
So he would
Could not imagine
It
that.
Was literally like a 9
Six
to 9
straight
thing.
Lectures.
Six straight, 3-hour joints.
When did he schedule his naps?
I don't know.
Because I'd have a nap in there.
18 credits in one day. Like on Wednesdays. And then he prided himself on leaving his suitcase. He had like a briefcase, you know. Like
I remember.
An old guy. He would leave it in the trunk all week. And then pick
he
it up.
He wouldn't study?
It's just in his head. It was in his head. And then he the way he did, because he typed like probably Valdez was with one
He's
finger.
He's a hunter and a pecker?
He was a hunter, pecker, typer.
I'm a
That's a
like
hurting
typer.
Way to type.
So he just voiced them, whatever you talk, you did
recorder.
It into
that,
a digital
that recorder.
Recorder.
Yeah.
And then he paid a typist, and she would just type his papers.
That's silly.
It's a good deal.
That's how he got his PhD. Crazy.
Nice.
Crazy. Anyway, he took a lot of pride in it. I think I told you what my son... Did I tell you what my son's claim to fame was?
No.
Sitting on the porta potty.
Yeah, that's one minutes. Of them. Because that's a weird thing.
I love my son. These are some of his greatest hits. He took a duty in the Outer Banks. He pulled his pants down. Okay.
See, your son started that trend that you can't stop talking about.
He was on a porta potty for 30 minutes. At a lacrosse tournament once.
I've never sat on his
phone playing
ever.
A game. Just on his phone playing a game. Just not
a candy,
even fazed.
Candy Crush?
Not even fazed by all the poop and everything everywhere. Just didn't even care. Right. Didn't have a care in the world.
It's weird.
His third claim to fame, after I paid literally $4,000 for testing for like ADHD and all this stuff, right? So he could get extra time, right? And he did. He had ADHD, shocker. He had something called executive functioning disorder or something. They said it was off the charts. His claim to fame, he told me this the other day. I never knew this. So I paid $4,000 for him to have extra time.
$5,000?
His entire high school and college career, his first draft was always his final draft. As soon as he had the last period, boom, send. Every paper he ever wrote in high school, in college, and he ended up getting a master's degree. Every paper. He never reread it. He never redid it. He just started it, finished it, hit send, boom.
Boom. That is a natural.
Is impressive.
Well, it depends
impressive.
On the grades he got.
That's impressive. He did it. He did it.
Okay, but
he
all
did
right.
it. That's also showing he didn't care.
Yeah. Right.
His level of care was zero.
Give zero Fs.
Zero.
Just hit send, baby.
He finished it, hit the last period, send.
Nubs Institutions.
Never reread
Nubs
it.
Institutions.
Come on.
Coming up next, Chris Sims has a team on upset alert for week one. We'll tell you who that is
who
next.
That? Who that?
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. We are off and running because it's game week.
Hell yeah.
Good morning.
What's up, brother?
You're listening to B. Mitchell Finley. You're also watching us on the stream via the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. I'm fired up, man. It was a great Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, just perfect weather up and down the East Coast. We had college football all weekend. And dude, this is it. This is the real deal. Like, you know how I continue to say over and over, like, the Commanders' real week one roster will show up tomorrow on that practice field.
Uh-huh.
We're here. We made it.
We're here.
Congratulations to everybody. We made it.
We on the week one roster?
I mean, no, but we're like.
Do we get a game check?
We made it, dude. Summer and list season and everything else. We're here now, dog.
Yes, indeed.
I had just a really nice weekend. Watched a lot of football. Chilled at the beach. Did play a round of golf. I understand you played some very good golf. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I got back on the hitting the fairway train, JP. And,
that helps.
Feel real good about it, you know?
Take some money off Beasley?
Did I really? No, he didn't bet that day.
Well, that's smart.
I did take money off of Wayne, though.
Shout out to Wayne.
Yeah. Wayne told me they'll be coming to the radio talking about beating him.
Well, so, Wayne, you got beat. That's how it's going to go, Wayne. Sorry. I was down at the beach. I got to play golf with Monty.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, man. Shout out.
My dog.
Shout out to Mr. Montgomery. Just absolute legend. Dude runs the whole Delaware shore, it seems. It's funny. We were pulling into town. So Thursday night, that drive kind of sucked. I told you that Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Did I tell you this? Ainsley was like, Daddy, is that your friend's restaurant? I was like, and that one, and that one, and that one. But we had a blast. I played damn near my best golf, except I was completely unable to putt.
Why is that your problem?
B, I shot an 86 with a 4-putt on 9.
Maybe you played good golf.
Well, so then thought, all right, let's keep it going. You know what I mean? I snuck out for 9 yesterday afternoon and played terrible. It's just, you never know, man.
See, what I tell people all the time about putting, the one thing you can do year-round is putt.
I putt all the time. I putt on my porch every night. I make 105-footers, like, every night.
But stop worrying about your porch, because you know what? Your porch is fast and it's flat. Go somewhere with some undulation.
All right, well, I can't do that every night. I can't just go to a putting green
But you can
night.
At least go into another part of the house or
I don't have any undulations in my home.
You need to find something. I mean,
yo, if you got a house with undulations, you got bigger problems.
No, I'm just saying, you got a little putting thing. We got a whole one right here, another one. We got two of them. One over there, and one right here.
I got one.
Yeah.
It was,
get you right, man.
Today, you could tell, is like the official, like, we're all back. School's back in. Like, I think, you know, Virginia maybe started a week before Maryland, but, like, everybody's back now. And you could tell with the traffic coming downtown. I don't know how your ride was. Mine was okay.
I came right on in this joint.
Yeah, I gave myself enough time, which was a pleasant change.
About time.
I don't always do that. Big news.
You were an adult today.
Big news from Baseball History Nut. Jeff, you might like this account. His account is at Nut History. So check that out if you want, Jeff. Nut History sent me, this is serious breaking news right here on the Fan.
All right, let's go.
You can now order the Jaden Daniels Super Bowl era jersey.
There we go.
I predict this will be the highest selling Washington jersey ever.
I agree.
Ever.
I will agree with that.
Like, I don't know. I assume this is, so this is NFL Shop powered by Fanatics, blah, blah, blah. I don't know how it works with, like, printing these jerseys. I think these will sell out. I think they will be gone ASAP. I think if you're a Commanders fan and maybe you haven't wanted to order a jersey because you didn't know who to get, maybe you're one of these people that doesn't like the new name, likes the old name, wherever you land,
yep,
this is it. This is the one to get.
Totally.
Dude's not going anywhere. The jersey's dope. There's no, there's nothing to not like. This is it. Order it.
100%.
Like, the history of number fives, like Tress wore it. It was great. McNabb, Heath Shuler, whatever. This is it.
Don't say Heath Shuler.
That's your guy. He was a congressman.
Probably a better congressman than he was a quarterback.
This is the jersey to get. There's no debate. Everybody's been asking me, how do I get him? This is the one to get.
That's a real low bar.
I mean, for the sake of our republic, I hope he was a better congressman than he was a quarterback. I don't know. Is he still a congressman? We need a Heath Shuler update, White Brian. The boys are all back. Jeff's here. Landfill's here. White Brian's back. Apparently, White Brian is past his concussion. He's out of the protocol, fully operational now. Did you watch much college football, B?
I watched it a little bit. I didn't get a chance to watch the one I wanted to watch.
Which one was that?
Belichick, take the spanking.
Wasn't much to watch.
That's what I hear. I did get some of the games on, what was it, Saturday and a little bit Sunday.
So Saturday was awesome. You had Texas, Ohio State. Yeah.
I watched a good bit of that one. And listen.
You and I were on the right side of Arch Manning.
Hold on, bro. There was a guy on radio, on TV the other day, and he said, hold on. Let's let the man play a game. We already have made him a next coming. He may not be that, or he could be. But let him play some football now. After that first game, I would say this. He can't be that bad, but I don't know how good he's going to be.
I think.
Because I'm hearing all these excuses about, well, that's Sarkisian being stubborn. If he was as good as they were saying, there's no way they wouldn't have put yours on the bench when he was sucking at times.
You and I have been saying that for a year now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if Arch was the dude, he would have played. I mean, like, oh, Sark. People talk about Sarkisian like he's damn Bear Bryant or something. Like, relax.
Where the hell he's won everything at?
Like, dude, you know what Michigan did this weekend? Michigan's a pretty proud program, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
They started a freshman quarterback. Like, when you're the guy, you play.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
And that's been going on since way back, though. You walk on campus and somebody else is the guy, but they brought you in to be the guy. You don't wait. You know, it's like on a recruiting visit, you tell the people, I'm not coming here to sit behind you. I'm going to be the starting quarterback. Y'all going to be backups. That's what I did.
Well, dude,
so
now I think there's been far, far too much assumed with Arch because of his last name. Mm-hmm. People assume he's going to be Peyton or Eli or whatever. And now I think the pendulum will swing too far that people now assume he sucks. I think we got to wait.
Yeah, we got to wait and see what's going on.
Ohio State's really good. But he's, That's a hostile environment.
He's going to get every chance out there to try to prove the point.
Sure.
A lot of other quarterbacks don't get that luxury.
Sure.
He's going to get it.
And he still can prove it. Like, yeah. I am not closing the book on Arch Manning, but I think it reveals some silly stuff that was going on with people just assuming he's going to be the best quarterback out there. Yeah. I thought, you know, obviously Ohio State winning that game was huge. They're probably now, when the new rankings come out, I think it's today, I think they'll be the number one. I thought the best win, though.
Well, Penn State, still, they destroyed their little team.
Yeah.
But they were number two, weren't they?
They might have been three. I think Texas, Ohio State were right there. It depends on the poll. But the best win to me, Miami had a great win at home against Notre Dame. Florida State had a hell of an announcement by beating down Bama. Bama just didn't look physical enough. And I think
I think the best win was my family.
That's what the best win was. LSU going to Clemson.
LSU told Clemson, to hell with you. We are Death Valley, and we're the real Tigers. In your stadium, they beat them.
Totally. I think LSU was clearly the better team start to finish. I thought Clemson's D-line would give LSU trouble. LSU committed to running the ball. Mm-hmm. That running back, Durham, can play for me any day, man. That dude was
Durham
good.
Durham is durable.
I was really impressed by LSU going on the road. Now, did you get to watch that game at all? I don't know what you were doing. I guess that was Saturday night.
Just I watched a good bit of it.
So I was excited for that game. And, you know, we're down at the beach. It's just like there's only one TV. And the girls were like, it's full house marathon at my house lately. And I was like, listen, at 7:30, I'm watching this game, period. Like, you guys can watch it with me.
No debate.
You can go to bed. You can go play in the room, whatever you want to do. But this TV is going to be on this football game. And the histrionics involved before kickoff, 7:30 kickoff, there's no chance they kicked that off till 7:50 and maybe even closer to 8. And so many people want to tell me how dumb I am. I know that Clemson runs down the field and touches the rock. Everybody knows that. They try to make it seem like this is the cool part. So apparently the facilities at Clemson are out of this world, right? I have my little cousin just graduated from Clemson. My friend John Williams sent like 800 of his kids to Clemson. I'm cool with Clemson. I got no beef with Clemson. But as they built out the stadium, and they've built incredible facilities from what I understand, the home locker room is now on the east side of the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But the rock and the hill
is on the west side.
Are on the west side of the stadium. So B. Mitch, the way they tried to sell this on television, it's this magical carpet ride where all the players get on a bus and ride around the stadium to then run down the rock. And the TV was showing this bus ride like it was just... It was Newt Rockne winning one for the Gipper. And I was like, yo, this sucks. It's just a bunch of dudes crammed onto a bus. And they're like, oh, my God, can you believe it? Like, yes, dudes got on a bus. Either move the rock or move the locker room or stop acting like the bus is a big deal. The bus part of this was lame, I thought.
Yeah.
And then they have this cannon. And they got this jacked military-looking dude getting ready to shoot this cannon. B. Mitch, I swear to God, the cannon's the size of my laptop. Like, it was the world's smallest cannon, and they just tried to hype it up so much.
What was the part
of
Harlem Nights? Remember Harlem Nights when they shooting the gun?
Yeah.
They had something like that?
It was LSU showed up, though, man. I was happy for them.
They finding people for storming the field now?
I guess. I mean, let the kids storm the field. Florida State was 2-10. They just beat Bama. Let them have some fun.
Yeah.
As long as nobody's hurt.
How long that coach going to be employed?
I don't know, man. You know what his buyout is? So you talk about Kalen DeBoer at Bama?
$70 million?
$70 million.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be employed a little bit longer.
Yeah. You know what, though? Got a lot of money at Bama.
Yeah.
You know they had a $200 and something million facility? Then they didn't tear it down. They made that for other sports, and then they built another football facility, and it's worth about $400 or $500 million. They have two or three helicopters and team planes for the coaches to fly around. They got a lot of money there.
We're going to talk a little Terps a little later. Freshman quarterback. Looks like a player.
There you go.
Hokies. The Hokie defense played well. South Carolina just better. I like that South Carolina
good
quarterback.
Team, yeah, good team.
Irish go on the road, lose to the Hurricanes.
Gil was at the LSU Clemson game.
Oh, he told me about that.
Yeah, he was.
Went too.
Yeah, he was.
We should have connected Lee and Gil.
He took his son with him.
I imagine they enjoyed themselves.
Oh yeah.
Belichick last night. For didn't all look the good. Excitement, they got their ass kicked.
Well, let's be real now. One thing about football, I don't care what your level it is, you have to have players. And when I was asking about this game earlier, people were talking about, well, TCU's not that good. I know one thing, TCU can fly. And if you don't have some horses on your side, they may not be better than you, but they're going to run past you all day. They need to get athletes. And North Carolina, let's be real, it's basketball school. Ain't no football school. Basketball school. And Bill Belichick, we gave him a lot of credit. And he deserves it because he got Tom. He was able to let Tom and Bill O'Brien, the thing.
Yep.
Let them run that side. But ultimately, he can't play football for college. He gotta go get some horses, dog.
So here's the problem. The way college football is now, like he could have done it already.
Like, but you know,
he brought in whoever he brought in.
Yeah, but
I don't know that he's going to build it.
The mindset that he has is that I'm bailing everybody else. It's not going to work.
Agreed.
You better spend some of that North Carolina money.
Agreed.
That's what y'all better do if you think you're going to compete at the highest level.
Deion, I don't know if you watched Georgia Tech Colorado, but that game was pretty good Friday night.
I didn't see none of that.
He was bad with the clock late in that game.
Mm-hmm.
They lose by a touchdown. They have a late drive. He finished the game with two timeouts in his pockets.
Nah, man, you can't do that.
Not in a one-score game.
No, you can't take timeouts home. I'm just saying.
You're down a tutty.
Hey, even if you don't, listen, you call them just in case. Refocus, do something. You can't take timeouts home.
I did, Landfill, real quick, I wanted to ask you a quick question.
Hit me with it.
Around here, who probably loses stuff the most?
You?
Probably me, yeah. Right? And who probably loses stuff the least?
Me? Yeah, B-Mitch.
Probably B-Mitch. So it was fairly astounding this morning. I got into the office, said hello to some folks. Shout out to PBI Furniture. Gave me a T-shirt. Appreciate you. And I took my lunch. My wife packed me a lunch. Shout out to her. And I took it into the kitchen and put it in the refrigerator. Pretty standard, right? When I opened the refrigerator, a set of car keys fell down from the heavens and landed on the floor. I said, oh no, somebody lost their keys. Can you guess
who
left their keys on top of the refrigerator?
I did.
Wow. At least he didn't leave them in the refrigerator.
So I was like, whose keys are these? And then I was like, I recognize these keys. Brian Mitchell left his keys on top of the fridge.
You got even with B-Mitch, though, when you stole his headphones earlier.
I asked him, whose headphones are these? He said, I don't know.
I've never seen them over there. I normally, they sit right here, and then I plug them up right before we start. Plug up your thing over here.
I'm up 2-0 on the day. I did find your keys. You're welcome.
Thank you for the keys.
No problem.
But don't worry. You'll probably pass by me in about 30 minutes.
Busy, busy day. It's week one. NFC East, New York Football Giants. Pat Leonard will join us at noon, tell us all things going on with Big Blue. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley on 106.7 The Fan.
Five receivers in the pattern. Malik Washington heaves this one wide open. Touchdown! Shalik Knox all alone.
And it was because of this offensive line. Watch this. Look at this right here. Nothing around him. Able to process the thing, see it, slow things down, ball right on the money. That was a nice series by Malik Washington.
Saw the right.
Joe Beninati, Matt Millen on Saturday's call of Maryland's season opening win over Florida Atlantic 39-7 is heard right here on your home for Maryland football, the Team 980. Malik Washington, a highly sought after and landed prospect, starting as a true freshman. Malik Washington, 6'5", 230 pounds, and he can sling it. It was a slow start, as you would expect from a true freshman in his first game, but ultimately he opened up, and the team did, a can of you-know-what on Florida Atlantic. They picked off Florida Atlantic quarterbacks six times, the most interceptions in a game for Maryland since 1998. Malik Washington was 27 of 43 for 258, three touchdowns, no interceptions. Maryland rolled 39-37. Look, anytime you are plus six in the turnover margin, you better win by like 39-7. But it was promising. Malik Washington was promising. I thought he threw the ball well. I thought he stood tall. He created more time. He looks the part. It's one game. It's Florida Atlantic. And Maryland did that thing they've done for the last several years where they commit more penalties than it seems like any team in the country. 14 for 100. I think they were on pace for the most penalties, or were really close for the most penalties called on a team in the first quarter of a game in NCAA history. They had eight in the first quarter. But they defended. They played good special teams. And they had a nice win to open up the season. Week one, just like in the NFL, can be a big-time head fake. It really can. And Maryland was 7-7 at the end of the first quarter. But I thought Malik Washington looked good. I thought that he looked the size. He threw it well. It's going to be hard, in this freshman year, because there will be some up and down moments, but it was a good start. They've got Northern Illinois Friday night in College Park. No excuses on a Friday night 7:30 kick not to go to the games. I understand Texas, Ohio State at noon on opening day on Saturday. Maryland was playing at noon as well, but hopefully they can get some people out to College Park to see the game against Northern Illinois, a team who, remember, was it last year that they knocked off Notre Dame early in the season? Was that when they knocked off Notre Dame?
NIU last year? Yeah.
Yeah, it was like week one or week two.
It was like week three or something. It was a crazy game.
Yeah, and remember, Notre Dame was in the national championship game early in the season. NFL, college football, same thing. Sometimes you really don't know. But a good win for the Terps, for sure, on opening day. And more so, just the promise of a young, true freshman quarterback, because that's what was missing last year. After three straight seasons of 7-8 wins and bowl wins with Lua Tagovailoa, last year was a no quarterback year. I mean, Billy Edwards just wasn't what Lua was, but they've got some promise at quarterback. Elsewhere, and I'm going to get to the big games, but on Sunday afternoon, Virginia Tech hung in there until there was an 80-yard punt return in the fourth quarter. They were 10-8 at that time. You know, what we saw in some of these bigger matchups over the weekend was more defensive football, defense ahead of offense this time of year. Drones, the quarterback for Virginia Tech, I thought looked, uncomfortable at times. South Carolina is a good defensive team, and South Carolina pulled away and won that game 24-11. Going back to Saturday, though, the anticipation offseason for Texas and Ohio State, look, the game was a bit of a dud. I mean, the defenses were good, but I think it was more about the quarterbacks not being good. Arch Manning had a rough start to his supposed Heisman Trophy campaign season. You know, one thing to keep in mind with college football, college basketball to a lesser degree, five stars usually turn out to be really good. In football, there are plenty of five stars that don't amount to anything. So take, that with a grain of salt. Yeah, they were great in high school. And Arch got some time last year and looked the part a couple of times. I thought, and I watched this game start to finish, I thought, number one, I thought Steve Sarkisian was way too conservative with his play calling. And maybe there
there was a reason for that. Maybe he wasn't confident in Arch Manning's readiness for Ohio State in that atmosphere in a one versus two game, at least according to the coaches' poll. I thought Arch looked tight, looked nervous. His footwork was all messed up on throws. He's thrown off his back foot. The timing was all off. They ran the football well, and that got him back into an opportunity to give Arch Manning one more chance with the football late down 14-7. Ohio State's quarterback, Julian Sain, in his first start, I didn't think was much better. Again, what do we know after week one? Very little. Notre Dame, you know, struggling last year at home, losing to Northern Illinois. They ended up in the national championship game. Long way to go. I certainly would not throw in the towel on Arch Manning, but it was a rough day, and I'm not sure anybody trended more this weekend than Arch Manning did. Ohio State won the game 14-7. That's a big win for them. They don't get a real game for another month, you know, really 5-6 weeks. They'll go to Illinois in mid-October. Illinois is ranked in the top 15. Meantime, Texas with a couple of easy games as well to get Arch Manning some, hopefully, some rhythm against San Jose State this week, and then UTEP and Sam Houston before they have to go to the swamp and face Florida in early October. The other big game on Saturday, well, there are two others, but I'll start with the night game between LSU and Clemson. I had Stanford Steve on last week. Denton's going to come on with us every Thursday to talk college football and preview the upcoming weekend. I've just not been a Cade Klubnik guy. I know what his stats were last year. Every time against good opponents, I saw a guy that didn't process very quickly. He could improve. It's possible. But that was his big issue. He was not good against LSU. He's very slow in processing. He doesn't feel the pressure. And LSU's defense was the best it's been in years. And that was a test for Klubnik and Clemson. Garrett Nussmeier, on the other hand, is another guy that's projected to go very high in the draft. Look, he does see it, and he does feel it, you know, as a passer. He just doesn't have great athleticism. Klubnik does, and he'll need it to be an effective quarterback. But big win for LSU. And to be honest with you, this was a game. Final score was 17-10. It felt like a 27-10 game. LSU, to me, was the better team for the majority of the night. They had more yards. They had almost twice the number of first downs. They had a touchdown overturned by replay that I thought was horrible. They dominated time of possession. And Brian Kelly gets a season-opening win for the first time at LSU. You know, they had lost to Florida State twice. They had lost to USC. They needed that game. Are the polls out yet? Have we seen the updated polls? Because I think LSU could I don't think LSU jumps to number one, but LSU is going to easily jump into the top three after that win, I would guess. Maybe Ohio State's number one. But I thought that was a better football game in a low-scoring game than the Ohio State-Texas game was. And then the game that preceded LSU-Clemson was Florida State and Alabama. Man, Kalen DeBoer, he is in trouble. Right has to be. That team didn't look like it had anywhere near the urgency or the effort or the competitiveness. Florida State, completely different team. I love that quarterback that they got from BC. I thought he was awesome. They've got speed. They've got playmaking ability. They were awesome on defense, and they destroyed Alabama 31-17. Alabama marched right down the field to open up the game with Ty Simpson replacing Jalen Milroe. And I think Simpson actually, I think they're going to be okay with Simpson. I think he is a better thrower of the football than Jalen Milroe, and he is athletic, not Jalen Milroe athletic, but man, Bama getting whooped by Florida State in the revamped, renovated Doak Campbell down in Tallahassee. That place was insane. They get a couple of games here. They get UL Monroe in Wisconsin in Tuscaloosa, and then September 27th, at Georgia. We'll see what Georgia is, but the natives are restless in Bama country. There is no doubt about that. And then Sunday night's matchup between Notre Dame and Miami, that was a really good football game. Denton and I got in this argument during the last couple of years. I actually think Carson Beck looks like an NFL quarterback to me. And I think he processes quickly, and I think he can sling it. This guy can make every throw. Now, he's got a lot going on intangible-wise that people question, but I thought he was outstanding against Notre Dame on Saturday night. And I thought Miami really came out and played exceptional football. They held on. I thought they got way too conservative there at the end. I mean, Cristobal and his management of the game, the clock, he's a disaster. There were several disastrous situations this weekend. Dion on Friday night or Thursday night, Dion completely butchered the clock at the end of the game, took two timeouts with him into the locker room. I'm just moronic stuff. He's not very good at that at all. Brian Kelly in the game against Clemson, at the end of the first half, didn't use his timeouts, then did, called his last one with the clock stopped. And then on 4th and 2 with 15 seconds to go, decided to go for it, even though if he had made it, they were still going to have to kick a field goal more likely than not. And they got stopped, and they took 3 points off the board. There was a lot of that over the weekend. amazing we see that still to this day. But you see it every weekend. But I thought Miami and Carson Beck in particular was really impressive. I think he's an NFL quarterback. Denton will fight me on that. He does not think he is. He can throw it. I think he can throw it as good as anybody in the country. I think Carson Beck has a great arm, and I think he looks the part in the pocket. There are a lot of intangible things about him, his leadership, et cetera, his work ethic. There's been a lot of things that, you know, people have questioned about him. But, man, Miami looked good. And, again, Notre Dame recovered from an early season loss last year and made the national championship. 12-team playoff now, so there are lots of opportunities to bounce back from opening weekend losses that are disappointing. And that would include certainly Texas as well. But, you know, highly anticipated week one because we had so many really good matchups. And, you know, defensive games. You know, that Texas-Ohio State game was, couldn't wait to watch it. And then really it was like, when is this game going to get started? And I like defensive low-scoring games, but I thought that was as much about some of the inept quarterback play. And I, again, Sarkisian really didn't give Arch a lot of opportunities. Seemed very conservative, but maybe he knew something we didn't know. And that was that he maybe didn't think Arch Manning was ready for that stage. He didn't look like he was ready. Week two, and we'll do a preview with Denton on Thursday, but not the same number of attractive matchups on paper. You get a lot of the big-time top-ranked schools playing the Florida Internationals and the San Jose States and the Sam Houstons of the world. But still, football from Thursday through last night. Of course, last night, we talked about that at the very beginning of the show. Belichick, not a great debut, that is for sure. TCU and that quarterback, Josh Hoover, looks good. When we come back, Tom Brady talked about the quarterback that he thinks is the greatest thrower of the football in NFL history. You'll hear what he said when we return.
What an amazing weekend of college action. It started really on Thursday, and then it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. 5 straight days of college football. This is how you got to kick it off. It's layered. It's intense.
Yep.
Just when you think you're done, there's another one coming. And you get hit in the face by another college storyline or game that you care about. The NFL knows how to do this, too.
They're pretty good at it.
This week, they've got the Thursday and the Friday and the Sunday and the Monday slates covered for you. Used to be, things got started Sunday at 1 o'clock. Then it was the big national Thursday night game. Smart. Now it's Thursday night and an international game on Friday night to make it all work out as far as the rules go.
Yeah.
Then we've got the whole day worth of Sunday action, and now we've got Monday night as well. So we'll have 4 out of 5 days. Can't do Saturdays because of college, or else they would. We'll have 4 out of 5 in the NFL. Let's go through some of the big storylines in college football from this weekend. First things first, I was giddy about Texas-Ohio State. It ended up being a really entertaining game, even though there was no offense or no scoring. Two great defenses. The number one Longhorns lose on the road in Columbus to Ohio State 14-7. Arch Manning scuffled. This was our first real look at Arch Manning in a start on the road. He finished 17 of 30, which doesn't tell the story. Threw for 170 yards, a touchdown, an interception. Danny, his off-target rate in this game of 37% was the worst in that stat by a Texas quarterback in over a decade. And he was 0 for 5 on passes 5 or more yards downfield over the final three quarters. So it could very well be that he ends up winning the Heisman and leading them to a national championship and going number one overall this year. All those things are still on the table. But the talk of him being generational, I didn't quite see it in his first game as the guy at Texas with Quinn Ewers in the pros.
Thought he was bad. I think you said it correctly. Now, that doesn't mean that he is bad. It doesn't mean that he'll always be that. I don't think he's going 17 for 30 or 170 yards and he's going to miss every throw that he makes in crunch time and not convert third downs and be terrible all year long. But he certainly was in that game. I mean, he looked overmatched. It looked like he was late, looked like some of the throws he needed to step in and zip didn't have the zip. It looked like he wasn't on time with things, looked like it was too big for him. Now, I understand that. That's claimed a lot of people. 120,000 people, whatever it is, at the horseshoe screaming at you, bearing down on you with a number one in the country type opponent that just reloaded and is a natty championship contender in their opener where they're fired up. Ohio State pretty much beats everybody except for Michigan these days. So that's not an easy environment. So I'm not slamming the gavel, but everyone should pump the brakes a little bit on crowning and anointing and letting you know that you've seen the next gold jacket wearing a generational transcendent blah, blah, blah.
I think that goes both ways though.
Yeah.
Because I think the discourse, social media is toxic. I try not to argue with Twitter when I do this radio show because it's not a real place. But you're sitting there watching a game and you're seeing everything online that's being said or whatever. And everyone's trying to get the snarkiest joke off and the best zing off on Arch Manning. And as if one game to start your career in the toughest environment you can play in,
yeah,
against probably the best team in America going into the playoffs this year, I would imagine. The defending national champions is like the beginning and end. Not there's no preseason, you haven't played any games, this is your first look on the road. And by the way, the whole team offensively struggled. They couldn't run the ball.
Yeah.
You were behind the sticks. It's a dependent position, all that stuff. I think two things are true. One is, to your point, he stunk in that game. His first pass attempt, rolling out to his right, got a guy wide open. You know, it was a tough-ish play across his body, but he skipped it in there like 8 yards away from the receiver, and I was like, ugh, that's a bad pass. You thought it's the first of 30, it'll be fine. And a lot of them look like that. Again, the on-target percentage was the lowest of a Texas starting quarterback in any game in over 10-plus years. So he did scuffle. Even with that, though, we just live in a world, and we saw it with the Griffin stuff and the Cousins stuff here. Every throw is a referendum. Every throw is an endorsement. See, he's the man. See, he should go first. See, he's terrible. And that's just how people operate, trying to confirm their priors. But this was Arch after the game. It was an ugly one. Texas 0-1 is the number one team in America.
I hold myself to a high standard. Recognize I got to play better. Got to lead more. Got to get our guys to play well around me. And ultimately wasn't good enough. So, yeah, I am hurting myself. I was surprised we weren't scoring. I mean, moving the ball. But ultimately, you got to adapt and adjust. And that's what good football teams make you work for it. And they definitely did that on Saturday. I think it was a long 24 hours. But I got it all out of the way. Watched the tape with everyone this morning, and the good, the bad, the ugly, and then now we're full on to San Jose State after, I guess, this media after we stopped talking.
Wasn't that much good. So that part of the film study probably went by quickly. But San Diego State, you level down a little bit. My guess is he plays a lot better.
Yeah.
He puts up some numbies. It's three touchdowns and 279 yards or something, and the pendulum swings back. But he got tested, and it was not a test that went well.
Yeah. Hey, Siri, what did Eli Manning sound like at 20 years old? I mean, that's all I could think about, hearing him talk postgame. I hadn't heard a ton of him commenting, and it literally sounds like he's doing an Eli impression.
Uncle Eli?
From that age. Yeah, it was wild, man, to throw it back.
Good news for Arch Manning. He hasn't had a lot of it the last few days, so I'll give him some good news. He didn't have the worst debut everybody tuned into this weekend.
Yeah, everyone was watching.
That belongs to Bill Belichick. 48-14 whooping for North Carolina last night at the hands of Texas Christian. Now, my takeaway from this was actually pretty simple. TCU's players are way, way better than North Carolina's. I didn't really think much more into it than that. You'll get your think pieces about how it was all Brady and Bill Belichick's a boob and, you know, Jordan, what's her name? Jordan Hudson or whoever that girlfriend
sure.
is that yeah. he has is ruining his life. Or, you know, there's going to be all kinds of stupid takes, I'm sure. But 48 points allowed, the most ever by North Carolina in an opener in team history. Bill Belichick's defense gives up 542 yards and 29 first downs as the Tar Heels got outgained 542 to 222. Michael Jordan, Lawrence Taylor, Roy Williams, you name a celebrity with ties to North Carolina, they were in Belichick's suite last night enjoying that one at club level. And boy, did they see a gross performance. First drive, they came out. They went right down the field.
Gangbusters.
I saw Skip Bayless and Colin Cowherd popping off about how they're about to win the national championship. They're doing shtick about him being the second best college coach ever to Saban. And it all came crashing down.
Like Saban never lost by that much. I mean, dude.
Did he never lose a game by 34?
I don't think
his whole career?
I don't think he did. And I have to go back and check that. I saw someone tweet that, so I'd have to double check it.
In fairness, but never coached at North Carolina.
Right.
Yeah. I don't understand what Belichick's doing, really. To me, there's nothing to be gained by this. Unless his goal is like, I don't care what anybody thinks as we get bludgeoned. I'm going to get to teach the fundamentals of football to a bunch of dudes and build this thing from the ground up. And that's what he gets off on. Okay. To me, this just seems like a really, really weird business decision.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on in his brain. I do know this. They don't have the horses. And I don't know if they're going to get them. I don't know if that's exciting for the 18-year-old who in his life probably doesn't even remember when the Patriots were awesome and Belichick had everybody's scheme was better. They just remember when he couldn't draft very well for 5, 6, 7 years and Brady leaving and winning a Super Bowl elsewhere. It doesn't look very good right there. So again, it's one game. Who knows where it goes if he's able to instill his culture and his way of doing things. But doesn't seem like everyone's having a whole lot of fun.
TCU was playing against air in the second half.
Felt like it.
Every play a first down, people running wide open. I mean, it looked like a preseason lineup for North Carolina. You know, the backups were in and the starters were in for TCU. Their running back, Kavorian Barnes, goes for over 110 yards on 11 carries. Their wide receiver, Jordan Dwyer, was uncoverable, 9 for 136. He scored a touchdown. Belichick's got to get back to the drawing board.
Well, I was doing a fantasy draft last night during that game, and I even tweeted this at Funny Danny, and every time it seemed like I was near on the clock, sort of, okay, I'm a few picks away, let me lock in, see who my choices might be, et cetera. I'd be looking at my computer and look up, and then UNC didn't have the ball anymore. Like, the way the timing kept working was I only saw them play defense for the entirety of that fantasy draft, it felt like. It just, you know, you've had that happen, whether it's basketball or some game where it just feels like you're always defending. Like, when the Nats can't score, it's like, we're back on defense again. We went 1-2-3 on 4 pitches, and like, let's get back out. The pitcher's warming up. Feels like you never have a chance. You're just getting bludgeoned.
Before the game, Bill Belichick did this interview with Holly Rowe, which had me actually laughing out loud. He's just zero energy and has nothing to say. But she asked about 34 years ago to the day you made your NFL coaching debut, and he's like, I hope this one goes better. Cowboys whipped our butts. It didn't, by the way.
It did not.
Narrator voice, this one did not go better.
And the Horned Frogs took it to the woodshed.
And then she was asking him about like his hoodie, and he's like, it's kind of my thing. I mean, that was actually like, I don't think he meant it to be funny, but
he's going straight deadpan.
But this was Bill Belichick last night on an ugly evening to start his UNC career.
Oh, well, it was a great, great atmosphere here for the game tonight. You know, fans were had a tremendous energy, walk. And, you know, we played competitively, but then just couldn't sustain it, so. Obviously, we have a lot of work to do. You know, we need to do a better job all the way around, coaching, playing, all three phases of the game. Just wasn't up to what it needs to be, and I know we're a lot better than that. So,
this is seemingly a negative college football theme here, but these are the big stories of the weekend. How about Alabama being in some trouble? Kalen DeBoer can relate to Bill Belichick. He is the butt of jokes today in circles with that fan base in Tuscaloosa. So, freshman, second year, where do I want to go with this? Fresno State, his second year. Let's start there.
Okay.
They make a leap of 6 wins from year one to year two for him. Then he goes to Washington, and year one won 11 games. He goes to 14 year two, and they're a national championship caliber team. This is year two in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they went 9-4 And the expectation is now you had your season.
Here's the leap.
You took your training wheels off this offseason. Now it's time to go win a natty title. And they lose to Florida State, a team that won two games last year, and they got destroyed. Early on, first three drives, their defense, unprepared. Drives of 75, 65, 52 yards. They give up 72 points. Out of halftime, you think, okay, let's go make some adjustments. Let's coach. They give up a 68-yard touchdown drive. End of the game, they've got to get off the field to have a shot. They give up another 75-yard touchdown drive. It's hard to pull out the positives from the game. You go to the offensive side of the ball, they've got this uber-athletic quarterback who looks the part in Ty Simpson. He struggled big time, 4.9 yards per drop back. Same number of negative plays as 20-yard gains. Their wide receiver is one of the best in America, Ryan Williams.
And they can't get him the ball.
When they did, he dropped it.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was the thing that I've always said this, when I watch a football game, the thing that boils my blood more than anything is drop passes. Like, there's almost nothing players can do, maybe fumbling, where I actually get mad at them. The drop pass thing. I'm watching Ryan Williams. I have no horse in the race. In fact, I'm probably rooting for chaos and a Florida State upset. But he dropped the ball so many times by the end of the game, I went, I'm over this guy. Please transfer. I don't care how good you are. He could not catch the ball. And I got people telling me he's as good as any other receiver in America.
I mean, last year he was special.
Cool.
Yeah.
5 catches, 11 targets, 3 drops, middle of the field. He left with an injury at one point. He was horrendous.
He was bad.
In this game.
I mean, my son had a soccer tournament this weekend, so I was able to watch like early part of the game when Alabama just walked down the field, pushing Florida State around, and I'm going, this is because there was some chippiness, there was some chirping between these programs. Tommy Castellanos, who was at Boston College, had kind of made it his mission, letting everyone know.
I liked him in BC last year.
Yeah,
he was just frisky, not a good team, but like he was always a pain in the ass. And now at Florida State with some actual coaching and some weapons,
thoroughbreds, yeah,
they might be okay.
They might have something. I mean, certainly there's some speed there, some good designs. But I'm going, okay, Alabama's going to just be physically better. Like, they're going to push Florida State around. They might score a couple times, but this is what the game's going to be like. And I'm checking the score, you know, during slow moments of my son's game, and I'm stunned. I could not believe that not only could Alabama not muster anything after that as Florida State was responding, but they were now behind playing catch up as Florida State sort of pushed them around the rest of the way. It was incredible.
Yeah, I couldn't believe how different the Seminoles looked. And kudos to Mike Norvell, whose head's been on a platter. Everybody's mm-hmm. wanted him out, the 43-year-old head coach there, after what was a tumultuous season going 2-10. They were 13-10 Orange Bowl losers in 23 and then went 2-10 last year in a dozen games. But to get that win decisively over Alabama was a big, big deal. But, yeah, Crimson Tide, if you're Kalen DeBoer, it's getting late early.
Yep.
I think any conversation about him getting blown out because of the buyout being so huge is ridiculous. Like, I don't think he's getting fired anytime soon. But you can't lose 5 games this year without this feeling like it's over forever. Like, in terms of that program yeah. and what Nick Saban had built, this doesn't happen if Nick Saban was there.
Well, good thing the conference is soft and you'll have a bunch of cupcakes. Oh, wait. It's a buzzsaw.
That's well said. Locally, quick one here for 2 games. Virginia Tech, their defense looked really, really good against South Carolina and a Heisman-caliber quarterback in Lenora Sellers, but they could not move the ball or score on offense.
I think that's going to be the issue.
They were down 7-2 after one with a safety. They were down 10-8 at the half. Same score going into the fourth, down 2 points. They end up losing 24-11. Sellers in the game, 12 of 19 passing for a couple hundred yards. I'd have to tag in Hokie Altizer here, who was on the broadcast for this game. Is Kyron Jones, Drones just not good? I remember watching him in the past and thinking, that's a pretty good college quarterback. He was 15 of 35 with 2 picks, gave them no chance in this game.
Yeah, he was really good 2 years ago in the second half of the year when the Hokies kind of had that resurgence. They were able to win the bowl game against Tulane, and then going into last year, they had so many guys returning, and he was one of those guys that they had such high expectations for. He struggled last year, kind of felt like expectations were high, and maybe he wasn't able to handle that well. He also had some injuries, but I think you saw on Sunday, you saw a little bit more of what you saw last year versus that first second half of the year that you saw him in 23, where he was a lot better.
8 of 18 on third down. Drones 15 for 35 in the game with the 2 picks. And if you're Brent Pry now in year 4, they went 3-8 in year 1, 7-6 in year 2, 6-7 last year, and he's 0-1. I saw odds released today by Bet Online of college coaches with most likely to lose their jobs. He was at the very top of the list. Like, they got to the Military Bowl and the Duke's Mayo Bowl the last 2 years. That's not good enough in Blacksburg. You're going to have to do better than that.
And frankly, not a particularly strong conference either in the ACC. I mean, yeah, Clemson's really good this year. They're a championship contender. Well, you know, even though they lost opening week, that's a good team. And Miami, I guess, is pretty good, but there's not much else in your way. Let's beat Georgia Tech and Wake and Boston College and Syracuse. You should sleepwalk to a pretty decent bowl, 7, 8, 9, 10 wins, and that hasn't happened.
Let's head out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We welcome in Mark Packer, former ACC Network host. Mark, how are you? How is retirement treating you, my friend? Hopefully well.
Well, it's different. I got to be honest with you. You know, I watch games now completely different. It used to be I'm constantly taking notes and thinking of offbeat things to get into for the week. Now I just put my feet up with a bourbon and don't care. I mean, don't care. So life's pretty good. I got to be honest with you.
Right. Just one bourbon?
No, it's one bourbon per possession. And it's all about taste.
That's funny. Well, obviously, Carolina, we're going to get to a couple of ACC teams here, but Carolina, that was the big island game last night, and everyone's talking about Belichick. Sonny Dyke said after the game, no one respected us. All they talked about was Belichick. So right. we just felt like we had to go out and prove something. They did. Carolina obviously has a bunch of new guys, a bunch of new players. Lopez looked terrible. Your thoughts on that outcome, because that did surprise me. 48-14 did surprise me.
Well, first of all, Sonny Dykes was 1,000,000,000% right, and all you had to do is watch the first hour of the ESPN pregame,
right?
Where everything was, let's just slobber all over Bill Belichick. And listen, when he was hired back in December, I said North Carolina's going to become the new college football reality show, and it has.
Yeah,
and people are going to watch North Carolina and couldn't even find it on the map, but because of Bill Belichick, all of a sudden you're going to say, "Hey, how'd they do this weekend?" So it's a whole new atmosphere, stratosphere for eyeballs on North Carolina football. And when you bring in 70 new guys, 40 in the transfer portal, 30 in recruiting, I mean, it's going to take some time. And if you only watched the opening possession last night of that game and turned it off,
yep.
If you only watched the opening possession and you saw North Carolina go down 6 plays, whatever it was, touchdown, and you turned it off and went to bed, and you woke up this morning and said, "Hey, what's the final score?" 48-14. You said, "Boy, that Carolina team looks really good." So, again, it's one game. You can't go too crazy. The good news for North Carolina is that the ACC gave them an unbelievable schedule. I mean, they get a chance to avoid Miami, Florida State, Georgia Tech, SMU, and Louisville. I would make the case that is 5 of the 6 best teams in the league that you at least would assume after 1 week of football, Clemson being the other one I throw in there, and they have to play the Tigers next month. So the schedule could not be any easier. But the performance last night was abysmal, and I know North Carolina fans are bummed out. But, again, it's 1 week. They get Charlotte and, I think, Richmond after that. So maybe they get some confidence. And I still think that team could get to a bowl, best-case scenario. And I think the schedule will help them. But last night was certainly a disappointment.
Now, do you think that that Belichick eventually will move back to Max Johnson? Max Johnson had that awful injury last year.
Right.
In the Minnesota game. But do you think eventually he goes away from Gio Lopez? I know, look, I might be overreacting because of how bad they were last night, but do you think he eventually goes to Max Johnson, Brad Johnson's son?
Well, I think, the good news for Belichick and his team is that they'll put the ball out there and say, "Hey, somebody go earn it."
Right.
Again, they're spending a lot of cash on getting Gio in there, and he struggled last night. But, again, it's one game.
It's one game.
I don't think
you're right.
Go crazy. Mm-hmm. Max getting back in there after that gruesome injury last year against Minnesota was a really cool story. So you know he's got experience. He can lead you somewhere. But Belichick will figure all that stuff out. I think a lot of credit needs to go to TCU last night because after that opening drive, and Sonny Dykes even said, "Hey, I'm not sure what we were going to go up against." Once they saw it, made some adjustments, they basically kicked North Carolina all over the yard last night. So TCU gets a lot of credit. They were a much better football team. But like I said, North Carolina's schedule is going to allow them at least some flexibility to get some answers. But, for a North Carolina fan who was thinking, "Hey, we got the GOAT. We're on our way. We're going to win 10, 12 games. Let's go." Last night was a rude awakening. Unwelcome to reality.
You know, it is amazing that Max Johnson, this is his 6th year of college football.
Wow. Yeah.
He's played with 3 different schools. He actually had a really good year, I think, his second year at LSU. I think it was maybe a sophomore year. But You do talk about experience. Now, obviously, last year missed the entire thing because of the injury, but 6 years of college football, that's a lot of reps. That's a lot of practice time.
Yeah, so, and he's also seen live bullets. So yes, in some respects, you know, maybe that goes as something that Belichick will look at this week. But again, North Carolina's got a lot more issues than just what they've got at quarterback. I thought that the line of scrimmage, they got pushed around last night. And again, give TCU a lot of credit. That's a team that had a lot of starters coming back. And as Sonny Dykes said, got completely disrespected by ESPN and everybody else. And he was 1,000% right. And they played with a chip on their shoulder and they shoved it down Carolina's throat.
Mark, another team that got pushed around at the line of scrimmage was Alabama by Florida State. Yeah. I don't think a lot of people saw that result coming. How surprised were you not only by the final score, but by the fact that Alabama was just out-physicaled on both sides of the ball by the Seminoles?
I knew Florida State would be motivated, but I thought so would Alabama. And that one, to me, was the biggest shocker of the weekend. It was just with the intensity that Florida State played. And Mike Norvell is a really good football coach. Last year was one of those things that if it could go wrong, it went wrong. But, man, given what Gus came in there and his concept with Tommy Castellanos, give that kid some credit because he was talking a big game in the middle of the summer. And, you know, Nick Saban can't save him, and he was right. But I'm excited for Florida State and their fan base because they want to be great again. And again, it wasn't just 2 years ago. They're 13-0 and got screwed by Alabama and that whole college football playoff thing, but that's a whole separate story. But, you know, Bama had something to play for, too. And I just was stunned with the lack of urgency with them. I mean, they got punched in the face. Again, much like the Carolina game last night, first time Bama touched it, they went down the field, scored, and you're thinking, oh, boy, this could get ugly. But, man, I was really impressed with Florida State. And, of course, their fan base, the new dope Campbell Stadium, everything else, there's a lot of momentum. And all of a sudden, Florida State-Miami kind of feels like the good old days again, right? I mean, right. It's ironic given the fact when Miami joined the league 20-some-odd years ago, we all just assume we're going to get Miami-Florida State in that ACC championship game every year. We've never seen it. Who knows? They're going to see each other next month. But both of those teams were, I think, the two most impressive out of the ACC over the weekend.
And Castellanos, you know, obviously more of a runner than a passer. I mean, he's a really good runner. I remember seeing him last year when Boston College went down to Blacksburg.
Yep.
And they just bottled him up and made him run. I'm sorry, made him pass.
Incredible.
So that was very impressive. And like you said, I was very surprised because Bama didn't really respond.
No.
You know?
And that, you know, that is so counter to what you expect from not only Alabama, but really quality top flight SEC teams. I mean, you know, hey, you may jump them, but guess what? They're going to fight you again. I just never got a sense that there was a fight out of Alabama. And that is just, again, it's not like that was a Nick Saban sitting over there. Alabama's got something to prove. And that was an absolute punch in the face. And, again, just knowing the fan base down there and the passion, which is Alabama football, that will not fly. So, again, they're going to get a chance to get tested multiple times in that league. But that was an ugly, ugly start for the Tide, but fantastic for Florida State.
I'm sure you were enjoying your bourbon watching an awful offense when the Hokies went down to Atlanta to play South Carolina. Now, I was impressed by the defense because the defense really kept them in it, and he's got a bunch of new players.
Yep.
But, man, Drones was so bad. He was 1-for-13. I know you know this. 1-for-13 inside South Carolina's territory with two awful picks. There's a lot of pressure on Coach Pry this year for a lot of different reasons, but that's not good. And then Vanderbilt, who really played well last year, and I was at that game. Vanderbilt beat them last year down there. They're coming in with a good running back that can run. I don't feel great about this Hokie team right now.
You know, I hate putting must-win tags on teams or games or schools and all that stuff, but I think during the offseason, when I looked at Virginia Tech's schedule, coming off what has happened the last couple of years, and I like Coach Pry, but you got to win. And
right.
Winning close games has just been a nightmare for the Hokies under the Pry regime. And, you know, there was this thing, it was 10-8 at halftime on Sunday. You're thinking, oh, here we go again. Virginia Tech just didn't make enough plays. And ironically, I mean, listen, a special teams touchdown, that was like a dagger to the heart. If you're a Virginia Tech fan, I mean, Beamer's the head coach on the other side, and he beat you on the punt return and everything else. But when I looked at the schedule, South Carolina, I didn't think they would win that game. But Virginia Tech at home against Vandy, a team that kind of ruined it. You mentioned that game last year, and Diego Pavia goes nuts, and of course he's back. This feels like a must-win game, and I hate putting labels like that on teams, especially going into week two. But given the pressure, given what's at stake, you're at home, you're playing somebody that beat you and kind of pissed you off last year. You're coming off a performance on Sunday in which, you know, there were some positives, but yet there's some things we got to be better at. This feels like a game that Virginia Tech simply cannot be 0-2 heading into the rest of the season. It just can't be 0-2. You've got to be able to hold serve at home. Fans should be fired up. They shouldn't always are. But this is the kind of game you just got to win this game if you're Virginia Tech. End of story, period.
Yep, because Vanderbilt, Old Dominion, Wofford, they have to be 3-1 before they go down to Raleigh. They have to be, because he's still got to play Florida State and Miami at the end of the year. I mean, and now those look like losses. So
Exactly right. And you got to win close games. I mean, that trend must change ASAP for Virginia Tech. I mean, you're to the point now with your program, the way you've recruited, the guys that you got in place. Like you said, it looks like they've made some serious improvements on the defensive side, which is great. But winning close games has got to be a must. And, again, it's a game Saturday that if you're just kind of channel surfing and you're looking at scores, that is one to keep an eye on for the big picture if you're Virginia Tech fan, no doubt.
Who impressed you more, Miami or Florida State?
Florida State, because they were a two-touchdown dog at home, and I thought Bama had something to play for. And I was just impressed with the physicality of Florida State. I really liked what Miami did, too, because I think those are two really good teams. And again, I think Notre Dame is still going to be fine, given even though they lost the game. But Miami, again, you know about the physicality, Mario Cristobal, you know how they want to play. There's sometimes I think he gets lost on game days, but I thought they did a really great job. And the fact that Notre Dame responded in the fourth quarter and then Carson Beck drives them down, they kick the field goal, they win the game. I mean, crowd was great. Great win for Miami. And, of course, we're going to find out more about the Canes, too, in a couple of weeks when Florida comes down to town. Which should be another great game. But if you're a Miami fan and you're a Florida State fan, it kind of feels like, hey, it's not like back in the 90s again. I mean, both those teams play with some passion, and fans are bumble. Guys are flying around. Crowds are into it. So that's a really good news for the ACC. In fact, I think it's the second time in the last 45 years that the ACC had a pair of top 10 non-conference wins. So a good start. The only thing missing was Clemson holding serve at home against LSU, and it may turn out to be that LSU might be the best team in the country. We'll see.
Mark, I'm looking ahead to week two. It starts Friday night with James Madison going to Louisville. If I'm Louisville, like, that team would scare me coming into my building. Like, that can't be an easy early season matchup for them on a Friday night.
I have tons of respect for Jeff Brohm. I think he is a great, not good, but a great offensive mind. Always has his quarterbacks and skill guys that can make plays. I think Louisville is flying underneath the radar, but you're right. I mean, they can't be looking ahead like they've arrived. You got to be careful. But I think Louisville's a legitimate top 25 team. Mm-hmm. I do. I think they are going to be good. I think they're going to cause a problem. I think they're going to stick their nose in people's business when we start talking about the ACC race. I'd say the same thing with Georgia Tech after what I saw from them going on the road against Colorado, as physical as their offensive line is. And, Kings, I think they're a really good quarterback. There's some cool storylines in the league. I mean, you throw in the state of Florida that we just talked about. Clemson, I still think, is a good football team, even though they got to figure out some issues on the offensive side. I think SMU, Georgia Tech, Louisville are all legit. The league may be a little bit deeper than what most people thought before the season started.
Yeah,
Mark,
good stuff.
We always appreciate the time. Keep enjoying retirement. Enjoy that bourbon, and we'll talk to
miss
you soon.
We miss you watching you in your basement.
Well, listen, anytime you guys need me to shoot the breeze about anything, call, because I keep telling you guys do great work, and anytime I can be a part of it, I love it.
So, all right, thanks you, Mark.
We'll be calling you,
appreciate
no doubt.
It.
You got it. We'll talk to you.
Thanks, right. Nice. That's Mark Packer, former nice ACC Network host. He's always great on the show. Don't forget, coming up at 9:45, we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Dave Chappelle when he comes to town in October at Capital One Arena. We'll do that at 9:45. We'll do EB's Entertainment page next.